We dismiss our children to Children's Church, those fifth grade and below. I ask you to find your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Amen. Thank you for that, choir. Today, as we conclude our sermon series through the book of 1 Peter, following Jesus during opposition, we might ask ourselves the question, how can I be strengthened in Christ? How can I be strengthened in Christ? As we just sang about, He alone is worthy of our worship, so we can worship Him. And as we cross this river, as we live this life here before He returns, we can be extending our hand because His hand is extended to us and reaching out to us. He didn't say He would deliver us from the struggles we're going through, but He said He would help us walk through them along life's way. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning. They read like this. Therefore, as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of the Messiah, and also a participant in the glory about to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you, shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but freely, according to God's will, not for the money, but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In the same way, you younger men, be subject to the elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on Him, because He cares about you. Verse 8, be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Now the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally, I find that wonderful, personally. He will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. The dominion belongs to Him forever and ever. Amen. Verse 12, I have written you this brief letter through Silvanus, and I know him to be a faithful brother, to encourage you and to testify that it is the true grace of God. Take your stand in it. The church in Babylon also chosen sends you greetings, as does my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. Father, may every word spoken be spoken with integrity and according to your will and your will alone. Father, if there's one here this morning under the sound of my voice that does not know your son Jesus as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray, Lord, that today they would let go and let you. They would turn and surrender their heart and their life to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, if there's a brother or sister that's here this morning that's struggling and going through difficult times and They know which direction to turn, Father, but they don't know exact steps to take. Father, I pray, Lord, that we as your people would encourage them. But Father, most importantly, I pray that you would comfort them and they would feel your presence. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage them. May your name be honored and glorified this morning. Your son, Jesus, precious name I pray. Amen. Well, as I shared, as we come to a conclusion in this sermon series through 1 Peter, the most important detail that we must remember is that when we're in the middle of struggles and in the middle of persecution, we can find hope in Jesus. Now, I know that there are many of us here this morning who are facing adversity and they're facing struggles, they're facing difficulties, they're facing maybe financial struggles, they're facing maybe family difficulties, or something difficult is coming your way. And you're in the middle of it right now. There's no one here that is immune to the struggles and difficulties of life. We all go through them. But the big picture that makes us different, if you will, as followers of Jesus Christ, is who we put our faith and our hope in, who we trust and rely upon when struggles come. When somebody says something that we don't agree with, or somebody does something that we don't enjoy being around, or somebody does something that really irks us, if you will, we can know and understand that if we will trust God, He will see us through it. But we have to trust God. You see, too often we're guilty of condemning the world around us. You see, but God created this world, and it says in Genesis, it was good, it was good, it was good. And on the sixth day, it is very good. You see, God did not create any junk. God created and spent time with you, and creating you. But yes, because of sin, we have marred the picture of what the world actually looks like. And because the darkness that we see within our world, all these struggles and difficulties seem to really grow more and more and more. Life is too short for us to allow opposition to distract us or to take us off course. We need to remember that we're foreigners in this land that we live in today. We're just sojourners passing through. But while we're passing through, we don't need to forget 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are His representative, pointing people, a lost and dying world, to a Jesus that they need to know about and that they need to turn to. Life is short, and we must take every opportunity to be a light for Jesus in this dark world. Now, I know what most of you are thinking, because I've been there myself. I serve and I serve and I serve and I serve, but it appears as if nothing is happening. It appears as if nothing is taking place. I continue to serve and serve and serve, and it appears to me that more people are quitting than are people stepping up and serving. That is Satan feeding you a bunch of lies, wanting you to stop serving. He wants you to quit, just like others have as well. Maybe it's God's will for you this morning to take a stand of faith and say, you know what? In the middle of life's struggles and difficulties, I shall not be moved. For I am Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. I will take a stand in it, as we saw a moment ago in verse number 12, I believe. It's important for us to have this attitude. Sometimes it appears more people are quitting instead of taking a stand and pushing back against the opposition, knowing that it's not us pushing back, it's Christ is pushing back, but He wants to accomplish that in and through you. He wants to accomplish much. Little is much when God is in it. But a natural reaction is one that gives up and gives in, and doesn't continue forward. We're all guilty of giving in to these natural instincts, if you will, of man, of self. We naturally desire to hold on to life. Scripture says, Matthew 16:25, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses life for my sake will find it." You see, we want to hold on to life, but the Bible says to let go of life. Let go and let God. We naturally want to hide our sins. What does Scripture say? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We naturally desire, when opposition comes our way, to retaliate. What does Scripture say? Matthew 18, and many others besides these I mentioned, but Matthew 18:21-22, Peter asked, "How many times, Jesus, must I forgive him? 7 times? Thinking, boy, that's enough. Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. And it wasn't that He wanted him to say, forgive 490 times. Peter says, have a continuous heart and attitude of forgiving. Because Peter, during that process, you're going to lose count, but keep living for me. We naturally have this desire to be selfish. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10:24, no one should seek his own good, but the good of the other person. The good of the other person. In the book of 1 Peter, we see the natural response that might be given in the lives of those who are facing persecution to give up. What does Peter share with us all throughout the book of 1 Peter? Trust God. Trust God. Rely upon Him. Maybe today you're struggling with something that's going on in your life. Maybe it's a relationship struggle. You're seeking to find a relationship to fulfill that desire for relationship. And let me tell you something. You cannot fulfill desire relationship until Jesus is first in your life. Maybe it's a finance struggle that you're going through. Maybe you have this destructive habit that you cannot release and you just won't let it go because you think you have to have it. Jesus wants you to know that you're an overcomer because He is an overcomer. And we can overcome anything and everything through faith in Him and relying upon Him. So instead of looking in all the wrong places, we need to start looking in the only and one and only right place. His name is Jesus. You see, sometimes in life when it comes after us, we have to be like that running back since we're in full swing of football season. You stick out your hand and hold them back and keep going forward. Let me tell you something. I don't mean this to hurt anybody's feelings. I am an Auburn fan. But as an Auburn fan, you might get tackled and put on your rear end every once in a while. Guess what? In life as Christians, that happens. Exactly the same thing. We get knocked on our rear, and what are you going to do the next step? Are you going to give up, give in, and just quit? Are you going to keep fighting? Amen. I don't want to make this about football. There's too many Christians that have been knocked down and they haven't gotten back up because their faith has dwindled. Right. They have allowed life and circumstances to derail them on where God wants them to be because they're afraid of the next hit. Let me share something with you. I wish I could give you hope that you won't be hit again, but you will be hit again. But let me tell you, the big picture story that we know and have faith in, have trust in, is we have victory in Jesus. The win is ours. Amen. Why don't we live like it? Why don't we act like it? Why don't we serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as if we've already won the war? But there's many battles to be won because there's many people who need to see light found in Jesus, hope found in Jesus. And where are they going to find it? The Bible, yes, faith comes by hearing from the Word of God, Romans 10:17. But where are they going to hear it if they're not reading it? You. So don't give in. Don't give up. Don't worry if you've been knocked down. Because even though Satan may knock you down, Jesus extended His hand and said, get up. Get back in the game. Get back in the battle. Get back in the fight. We got this. I've got this. Keep marching. Keep moving forward. Keep carrying on. That's exactly what the instructions that we have been given. Today we're going to look at three different things that I feel that the scriptures that we looked at here helps us to gain strength. Or we could also say it helps us to gain faith. You see, we have responsibilities. As Christians, we have responsibilities that's been given to us. Now, you may be tackled, you may fumble, but get back in the game. You have responsibilities. And you have a job that's important. Because why? You are too important to stop serving a worthy and holy God that loves you and gave His Son to die on the cross for you. You are so important that God proved His love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we need to be sharing this hope of the gospel with young and old and everywhere in between. We need to take a step of faith. So how can I be strengthened in Christ? Number one, you fill in the blank. Be humble. In order for us to determine what it means to be humble, we must first establish what humility is not. And If I offend you, I apologize. But I want to share with you a few quick words. I think the United States of America is one of the best nations in this world. But let me share with you, the United States may be great and powerful, but it's not because of us. It's because of Him. It's because who our founding fathers, if you will, founded the nation upon. Now this is quick in my memory. I know we're 200 plus years of age as a nation, have gone through a lot of adversity, a lot of struggles. How many of us in here remember September 11th, 2001? We could all raise our hands. What took place on September 10th, 2001? There may be a lot less hands be raised. You see, our nation in this day and time, the biggest focus on the news, if you will, was that the market was struggling and we needed to do something about it. And the Pentagon was trying to research and locate $2.3 trillion. It's not that they lost it, but they didn't know exactly where it was allocated. Now, I don't know about you. If I lose a dollar in my home, I'm concerned. And $2.3 trillion, you can't imagine how much money that is. You can't spend in a lifetime, probably. I know many of you say, well, I'd like to try. But what I'm saying is this. Even as a nation, we had become disrespectful. Though we're a great nation, we had become arrogant. Though we're a great nation, we had taken God out of being first in our lives. I'm one that's convinced God wanted to grab our attention. Amen. And you look at the history of, you can read the history books now today and see how, boy, the people really got a different attitude. Churches were filled. People were searching for answers. People were looking for answers and trying to find those answers. I'm not saying we missed it, but church, I'm saying we missed it. Because people were searching for answers and the church was just as taken by surprise. This is Greg's opinion, it may not be yours. But the churches were overwhelmed with the filling of the pews, if you will. And they weren't ready to minister to the needs of the millions of people who filled the churches, searching for an answer. And because we missed an opportunity, look at our nation today. Humility once again has left center stage. Our nation is looking to self. What can we do to better ourselves? And they are pushing God as far away as they can. Now, I want to tell you something that's true. The church is not dead. God is alive. There's no doubt about it. But let me just share truth with you. Church, I think it's time for us to be humble enough to be on our knees in prayer. Praying for our nation. Praying for the person sitting next to you. The person sitting in front of you. The person sitting behind you. We need to be humble enough to recognize a need for more of Jesus. Amen. A need for more of me, Greg Gnarl, and for you, say your name, to know Christ more and to make Him known. Takes humility. We have to set self out of the way and quit doing things for self. Start doing things for Him. Doing things for others. To make Christ first. This is not something that Greg's made up. This is something that the Scriptures reveal. Philippians 2:4, looking out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. What are those interests? Jesus. You know, a lot of times there's a truth in the Sunday school answer. Who did this? Jesus. The little children's class are going, who are we talking about this morning? Jesus. They're all excited about sharing. Who are we talking about? Jesus. The answer to a lot of the questions in this world is Jesus. and we push him out of the way. We take him out of the picture. We need to have a childlike faith in that we say, what's the answer to this equation? Jesus. He didn't say life would be easy, but he said he'd be with you. He'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Amen. We need to be humble. And as we look at our life, we see here one thing that Peter shares that he was concerned with. And this really grabbed my attention. Because you see, it's very relevant in our churches, not necessarily here, but churches today. Listen to these verses of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, where it says, in the same way, younger men, be subject to the elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He may exalt you in the proper time. Now, this is not suggesting that the older generation is to be the rulers of the church. You see, we see here, it says, at the proper time, God will exalt you. God will exalt you when you are ready. I'm just going to ask a question. How much are you in God's Word? How much are you studying God's Word? How much are you getting to know Him more? If you're not in it, you're not ready. Because that's where we find the hope of all life. From beginning to end. That's where we need to be turning to. God's Word. So I want to challenge you. I know Greg struggles sometimes being in God's Word as often. I've never heard a person say they wish they'd been in God's Word less. Every time I hear them, I wish I'd have been in God's Word more. So I want to extend a challenge to First Baptist Union Grove. I want to challenge you just to be in God's Word. Start in the Gospel of John. When you get through, read it again. Go where the Holy Spirit leads you. But be in God's Word. Get to know your Savior more. Get to know the one that you sing about more. Get to know what He did for you. Get to know that love that He had for you. Get to know how much He gave for you, in that He gave His all. He held nothing back. He prayed, Father, if there's any other way, let's do it. But not my will. Your will be done. We need to have that attitude of prayer. Father, if there's any other way, let's do it. But if not, not my will, Father, your will. We need to be willing to humble ourselves and be ready to take on whatever it is that God has in store for us. God exalts people when they're ready and not before. Peter here is calling for unity in the middle of this humility that he's talking about. Because he wants for the people to humble themselves and work together. And too often we have older generations against younger generations and younger generations against older generations. This is not God's plan. God's plan is for us to be united together as one, as a body of believers, working hand in hand, side by side. There's one God, one Savior, one baptism, one faith. He is Jesus. And we need to be united together in that front. Because united we stand, divided we fall. Abraham Lincoln didn't say that. Jesus did. Long before Abraham Lincoln came along. Abraham Lincoln knew what God's Word said. And he shared it with a nation that needed to get a little humility about their lives. And stop putting self first. Start putting Christ first. Start being Christocentric instead of self-centered. What was Peter saying? Just think about it for a moment. As Peter gives these instructions in this book of 1 Peter that we've been looking at. Think of the life of Peter, all the things that he was a part of and participated in and things that he saw. We will by no means go through all the things that he saw, but a couple things that grabbed my attention. Peter looked back. He was warning of these failures because of his past failures. A failure like Jesus asked Peter to stay awake and pray. The importance of prayer. What did Peter do? He fell asleep. He fell asleep. Matthew 26:40. Then Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He asked Peter, "So couldn't you stay awake with me 1 hour?" Our priorities. We need to get them back in order. We need to be in our prayer life, being strengthened. A failure, Peter had a failure like he rebuked Jesus. Matthew 16:22-23. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Oh no, Lord, this will not happen to you." How many times do you think our nation said, "That will not happen to us"? And we let our guard down. How many times as Christians have we said, "That'll not happen to us. I'll not give in to that temptation. I'll not fall into that area"? But there's Satan on the prowl. He knows where you're weak, and he wants you to fall flat on your face. We are not too strong to face anything, but Jesus is strong enough to help us through it. Amen. His grace is sufficient to carry us through. This will never happen to you. But Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but man's." We need to get things right with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and place Him where He alone is worthy, as we sung about earlier. Place Him at the place that He is supposed to be, and the place that He is, no matter if you choose to put Him there or not. We need to make Him the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that He already is in our own lives. And we need to turn to Him and rely upon Him. And stop rebuking Him and saying, "No, Lord, not me. I'm not going through that." We need to be considering it joy, the tribulations and struggles that we face. As God grows us in our faith, we need to rely upon Him more. At first, Peter did not take these warnings from Jesus seriously. In fact, he argued with Jesus. The most difficult thing took place was that Peter did not recognize Satan at work around him. He did not recognize that Satan was trying to distract him. He did not recognize that Satan was trying to deceive him. Number two, when you fill in the blank, how can I be strengthened in Christ? Not only should I be humble, but I need to be watchful. I've got to be watchful. Comparing this to Satan, let's look at electricity. I worked a place in Huntsville where I was not only a machinist, but I worked in the maintenance department as well. And I built some things for the machines, and then sometimes we worked on electricity. It was all three phase. A lot of you are a lot more intelligent than I am. We've had 277 or 480, three phase. Let me just share this with you. If you touched it, devour would not be the word that you'd use that it would do to you. It would eat you alive. Devour would be an understatement. Now, we didn't go in and swap out legs while the machines were running, but in the same panel, you'd have some smaller voltage stuff going on, we'll just put it that way. In that, you maybe had some solenoid switches or some limit switches and all types of different things taking place. You had to be sure that you placed this here in the right spot. Because there'd be a machine on occasion that we needed to keep it running, and as maintenance, the person, whoever was working on it, needed to take and replace something that was maybe faulty. And it was just always amazing. My supervisor, he just did it. And I asked him one time, "How are you able to do this with such confidence without cutting the power?" He said, "First thing you must do if you don't want to get bit is respect it. You've got to respect it. Know that trouble lies in front of you if you take a wrong path. But if you'll respect it, and pay attention to where you are, you should be all right." You know, that applies a lot. to us as Christians about Satan. First thing you need to do is respect him. Know who he is and what he can do to you. How he wants, you see, Satan as a serpent was a deceiver. But as a lion, he's a devourer. Yes. He will deceive you to go down a path that you don't need to go in. Amen. And you have a choice to go down it or not. So it's your choice if you want to take that wrong path. There may be some devouring take place if you go down the wrong path. So you need to respect him and understand who he is and what his goal is in his life, if you will. That's to cause you to stumble, to cause you to fall, to cause you to not do what God wants you to do, and to cause you to become disgruntled, to cause you to gripe and complain, and to cause you to do all sorts of things that normally you wouldn't do because life just keeps coming at you, keeps coming at you, keeps coming at you, keeps coming at you. You keep being deceived. You keep being deceived. And Satan's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. He'll deceive you, and if you take a path, he will devour you.
Right.
We need to be watchful. Satan will devour you if you give him the opportunity. Ephesians 4:27. Do not give Satan an opportunity. Why? Because he will take it. He will take it. So we have to be on guard on the steps that we take. How can we respect this Satan? We've got to recognize him. We've got to recognize him. You see, not only do we need to respect him, but we need to recognize him. How do we do this? How do I know this? Listen to these verses of scriptures found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. Talking about Jesus, it says, he presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came, sowed seeds among the wheat, and left. When the plants sprouted and produced grain, then the weeds also appeared. The landowner's slave came to him and said, Master, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Then where did the weeds come from? So we get this picture. Yes, I sowed good seed. So where did the bad seeds come from? An enemy did this, he told him. So do you want us to go gather them up, the slaves asked. No, he said, when you gather up the weeds, you might also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And then listen. At the harvest time, I'll tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and tie them in bundles and burn them. But store the wheat in my barn. What is Jesus saying here to us in this instruction? He said, there's people around us that want that Satan has placed. He sowed some bad seed, maybe even in some churches today. He wants to deceive. He wants to take your focus in a wrong direction because he wants church, he wants for you to stumble. So you better be watchful. You better, like the Bereans we studied last Sunday night, I believe, Acts chapter 17, about verse 12, where it says the Bereans studied the scriptures to see if these things were so. We need to be studying the scriptures to see if these things are so. Hold your pastor accountable. If he says something, you search the scriptures to see if these things are so. If he finds something he says is wrong, you let him know. Because I do not want to make a mistake. I do not want to mislead. Church, none of us would want to be that. Hold each other accountable. Love one another that much that you'll hold each other accountable. And it's not to condemn. It's to lift up and glorify God's name.
Amen.
We've got to be on watch. We've got to be ready. We've got to be alert. We've got to pay attention because Satan desires for you to fail. Be alert to all your surroundings and do not go to battle against Satan alone. Take your brothers and sisters with you. Most importantly, take your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with you. Give them all to him. Cast your burdens upon him. Cast your burdens upon one another. That's what the church is for. That's why Jesus established the church, not man. Number three, and you're filling the blank. How can I be strengthened in Christ? Be hopeful. Be hopeful. Once you are humble, and once you are watchful, then and only then can you be hopeful. Peter closes on a positive note, that God can be trusted because He knows everything about you and He knows what He's doing. In fact, Scripture reveals to us that He knows you so well that He numbered the hair upon your head. He knows everywhere you've been, everything you've done. You are fully known before Him, yet you are fully loved in spite of it. And there's nothing greater to know that God knows where Greg Gnarls has been, the things that Greg Gnarls participated in, and He still loves me. We should be praising the rooster because of that. We need to be loving. We need to be living. We need to have hope. Where do we find all this hope? We have this hope because of God's grace. As we submit to God, He gives us grace. Our salvation comes through this grace. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. His grace is to help us every time in every time of need. Hebrews 4, 16. His grace, He gives it more. He gives more grace. James 4, 6. In that grace, we are called to stand firm. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Also in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12, we see here, I have written you this brief letter through Silvanus. I know him to be a faithful brother, to encourage you and to testify that this is the true grace of God. Take your stand in it. Take your stand in the grace of God. Take your stand in it. Instead of feeling discouraged, instead of feeling defeated, place your hope in Christ. Put your faith in Him. We also have hope because we know we are going to glory. Whatever begins with God's grace will lead you to God's glory. Psalm chapter 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. He does not withhold good from those who live with integrity. The road may be difficult, but stay the course. Don't give up. Don't give in. Be hopeful and stay the course. We also have hope because our suffering is only for a little while. James shares with us that life is like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. What are you going to do with that time? Are you going to serve Him? Or are you going to be discouraged? Give up and give in? Are you going to stay the course? Or are you going to go down a different path and the steps that you need to be following? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, I think sums up this whole book that we've gone through. Now the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, He will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. Remember, be hopeful. And find your hope in God's Word. Be in prayer. Communication. In that you have one mouth, two ears, for all the praying that comes out of your mouth. And if you're like Greg, that's a lot. Do twice as much listening. Because God does not want to for you to feel alone. He does not want for you to feel discouraged. He wants you to know that He brings you hope. He brings you reason. He brings meaning to your life. Take a stand in it. Rely upon Him. There's no greater hope than spending an eternity with God. So I want to close reading these verses of Scriptures from Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. When John is writing, he says this, "Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain, they will no longer exist, because the previous things have passed away. Friend, there's no greater hope than trusting in Jesus. There's no greater hope than knowing that you have somewhere to turn to. Don't live life alone. God gave us the church to be family, to stand together. We're in Him. We love Him, and we love Him first, but we love one another too. Trust Him. Try. See if He doesn't keep His promises. Put your hope in Him. Come what may. Live for Him. If you're here this morning and maybe you've not surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, well, how can I have this hope? The Bible shares it's a simple task. It's a free gift given from God that you only need to respond to and surrender to. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart, man believes in righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made of salvation. It's a free gift. Yours will take it, but you've got to take it.
Amen.
Christian, if you're here this morning and you've lived life, you've surrendered to Jesus, and it's just tough. It's just tough. Person beside you, your left, your right, in front of you, behind you, they're saying the same thing. Life is tough sometimes.
Amen.
There may be some people in this room that's going through something and you just don't know which way to turn. You're between a rock and a hard place. Turn to the rock. His name is Jesus. Rely upon Him. If you need help, He'll help you. Turn to your person to your right and your left and say, I need help. Will you pray for me? Pray for one another. Care for one another that much that you lift your brother and sister up in Christ. And you know what might be a good thing? Jot it down, because all prayers are answered. It may be yes, it may be no, it may be wait, but all prayers are answered. Be specific in your prayer. Pay attention to what God is doing. Just watch Him work. Let Him be Lord of your life. If that's you this morning, won't you come? This altar's open. Won't you come and pray? Won't you come? As we stand, as we sing, hymn number
316.
Won't you come?